God, it is good to meet together. And we, as we said at the first, we think about a year ago today, and we had a little camera phone down there on the ground, and we were broadcasting to everybody who was at home, and we were all unsure of what was going to go on. We were all looking around and going, well, this is just going to be a minute, and it's just going to not take very long. And God, here we are a year later, still dealing with some things, but God, you have been a good God. You have prevailed. You've had our church continue to be a light, continue to be your church, whether we were open physically or not. We thank you for that. We just pray as we open the Word today that you would really speak to some, because I know this is a topic that is something we don't talk about very often in the church, but it's something that needs to be talked about. And so, God, we're going to do that today. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in a series called It's All About the Grace. And I used the Meghan Trainor song, but I didn't use her actual song to tell you about It Is All About the Grace. And that's really what we're talking about. We opened up the series with that little spoof about that. Some of you thought that was clever. I thought it was clever. And it was a really good way to kind of think about what grace is. Because grace is something that we don't deserve, but it's something that we don't often talk about in the church, because we're so busy covering so many other topics. And so this Easter season, we're kind of looking at what is grace? What is grace, and what is our position with grace, and what are we supposed to do because of grace? And today, I want to talk about a restoring grace. And what do I mean by that is I would use it as like a remodel of ourselves, of who we are, because we are all broken. We are all in need of much makeovers. I think about my TV viewing time, a lot of the things that I watch on TV have to do with makeovers. I watch Bar Rescue. I love Bar Rescue. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I love it. They go in and they take these horrible bars and they just make them incredible. I love Restaurant Impossible. I love Restoration Charleston. I love any of the makeover shows. I love the Beach Bargain renovation thing. I watch all those things. And I got to think, and I think the reason why I watch those things is because they take something really gross and they make something really cool out of it. They take something really, really bad and they make something really, really good out of it. And that's what I think the process of grace is, that God takes us in our brokenness and he remodels us and he restores us. But I think we have a hard time with that, because those of us in the church, what we do is we get all up in a bunch about it. It's like, I'm just a mess, and I know I'm a mess. And so when I know I'm a mess, I don't want to be around God. I don't want to be around God's people. So I'll just stay at home and I'll worship God on my own, or I'll do the thing that I want to do when I want to do it. And the Bible calls that sin. That's a rebellion, because God has a plan, and the church is his plan, and you are his part of that church. You are his plan for the earth to have that restoration take place. So I want to look at a very tough subject today. What do we do when we can a person lose their salvation? Because that many churches disagree on that, many individuals disagree on that, and we're going to talk about that. What's all that? It's kind of a deep subject, because it's something that we don't often think about in the church, because we just all pretty much take our place with God for granted. I come to God, I give him my life, and I go, and when I die, I pray that I go to heaven. And that's a lot of the churches look sometimes at how our Christian life is. But it's not that way at all. You see, it's about relationship. God made you and put you on this earth for a relationship with him and a relationship with other people. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Can you lose that relationship with an almighty God who, once you accept him, what's our place in that deal? We've all known Christians today that who at one time or the other were very strong with God and were very connected with God, and now today they're not walking with God. And some of you here today and some of at home, I believe you probably have days where you struggle with the fact that God is not very real in your life, And you even wonder, does he listen? And some of us in this deepest, darkest places in our mind, we go, is he even really there at all? And those are real world questions that we need to struggle with and we need to have answered. Because when we can't answer them, what we do is we just live our life like we think we should, and maybe, we're doing ourselves a disservice and we're doing our people around us a disservice too. I want to say to you today, the good news that I came to bring 2 weeks before Easter is that God offers us grace that restores no matter what. No matter what condition you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone off the rails, God says, you can always come back to me. That's the good news of Easter. Some of you today have probably times in your life where you look at your life and you go, I'm not very close to God. In fact, I'm not as close to God as I ever was. In fact, some of us could say, I'm indifferent towards my relationship with God, but I go to church, I do some things because I think I'm supposed to do that, because my family did it, I'm supposed to do it. So I just show up. I just go because it's something I guess I'm supposed to do. And I think that day is coming to an end for the church family, because I believe that we have to understand which side of this are we on. Are we just going to go be a part of a club, or are we going to be an active, grace-giving, grace-receiving part of the body of Christ? So we need to be able to pray this prayer that was prayed in Lamentations. I think it's going to come up on our screen today. By the way, if you want to follow anything that I say today, you can go to Facebook and our message is all on there. But you can just click that, go to our Facebook page, click it, and all the notes and all the things are right on there for you to get. Lamentations 5:21 says this. Restore us, O Lord, and bring us back to you again. Give us back the joys we once had. Hadn't the joy been sucked out of some of your life this last year? You're just taking it in the gut, and boom, 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 and you just keep taking it, and you take it, you take it, you take it. And the joy kind of melds away, and the joy of serving Christ and being a Christian is not very exciting. In fact, we're kind of indifferent. How do you get the joy back in your life when you've kind of fallen away, when the world sucks it out of you? What do you do? How do you approach that? And that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about today. And then I want to give you the answer to send you home with this morning. If you got your Bibles, any whatever device that you have, Mark 14. Go to Mark 14. Mark 14. And we're going to start. I'm going to skip around. I'm going to tell you some story, the story in between. I'm not going to read this whole passage because it's a long passage. But what I want to do is highlight four or five different verses as we look about grace that restores. And can you come back from that? So let's look at Mark 14. The Bible tells us the story of one of the most interesting people in the resurrection story is the story of Peter. And he was the disciple who... This is a particular story where he denied Jesus. He said, he told Jesus, I wouldn't do it, but he denied him three times. And if you know the story, Jesus had been in the upper room with the disciples, and he had this Passover together, and we now know it is called the Lord's Supper, and that's why we do that here every Sunday in our church. And he shocked all the disciples by saying, one of you is going to betray me, as they're sitting around this very intimate supper. He says, one of you is going to betray me. And all the disciples said, is it I, Lord? Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And then Peter announces, if you look at 14 verse 29, Mark 14, everybody else, this is the word from Peter, everybody else, Lord, may stumble in their faith, but I will not. You can almost hear the swagger in his voice. You can almost hear the indignation in his voice. I would never deny you. I would never look away. I will always be your follower. We don't say those kinds of things in that stupid kind of way, but you know what? We're kind of like that too. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I'm not going to follow. You know, I'm not doing nothing stupid. I'm not going to leave my wife. I'm not going to leave my kids. I'm not going to do something. I'll never do that. We know Peter got shredded. Peter got shredded. Why do we fall away? Why do we fall away? Well, I want to give you a couple quick reasons, and I want to pull it right out of this section of Scripture today. Why do we let Jesus down? Because that's what most of us feel like when we sin. We know we don't want to do what we do, and we do it anyway. The Bible calls that sin. We know God doesn't want us to do it, but we do it, and they go, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have cussed them out. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have. Oh, you know, we got all these things in our mind that we think, but really in essence, it causes us distance from God. So why do we fall away? Number one, I think because of overconfidence. We begin to think that we can handle life on our own. And we, you know, God's got me this far and he's taking care of me and here we are. And we begin to think that we're strong and we could never fall in that area. And I can't tell you how many people that I've buried that said, I've got this addiction. All drugs will never have a hold on me. I got the alcohol and they have a DUI and then another DUI and all of a sudden they wrap their car around the tree. I got this. Until they don't. And then there's the sadness and the tears because we've been overconfident. I can handle it. I can handle it. Peter, I would never deny you, God. Really? Really? Chump, you did. Overconfidence. Here's another one. Laziness. Laziness. Why do we fall away? Laziness. Just flat laziness. We see in this scripture that Peter, and he comes to Jesus, and the whole story is about him denying Jesus three times. I don't even know who he is. Jesus? No, not me. I don't know him. I would never deny you. You see, we get lethargic in our faith. You know why we get lethargic? Because we just do. It's part of, how many of you didn't exercise like you were supposed to during COVID? You know, the best thing you could have done was exercise yourself to death. But you chose to sit, like me sometimes, on your rump. And you just sat there. And you sat there when you could have taken a walk. You see, we get lazy. We get lazy and we get lethargic. Because we see this next scene that I'm going to show you in verse 37. Skip all the way down to verse 37. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the three disciples, into the garden. He said, I just want one thing from you guys. I'm doing everything else. I'm sweating bullets here. I'm getting ready to know. I'm going to go die. I need one thing for you. Just come with me and wait and watch and pray with me while I go speak to the Father. What'd they do? They fell asleep, tired. Well, I'm tired. Yeah, everybody is. Well, I do this, that at my job. Everybody does. Everybody does. But they still did it anyway. One thing, guys, can you just wait with me? Can you just pray with me? Can you just stay awake? Please, please. That's what Jesus said, verse 77. Couldn't you stay awake with me for 1 hour? One lousy hour. COVID has got us all lazy. It does. It is so much easier to stay in at night. I can't tell you how many nights I'm in the house by 7 and I'm like, I ain't going back out. I know I'm an old guy. But I before COVID, I was out all the hours. I don't want to go back out. And we get lazy. We get in a habit. And I want to talk to some people like that too today because I think many of us have gotten lazy. I know some of you have excuses, a good excuse to stay away. You should stay away because you're compromised, because you're older. I get it. But for many, many, you'll go to the store that's like a Petri dish. You'll go to restaurants. You go on vacation. I see your pictures. But church? I don't want to do church. No church for me. That's where all the COVID is. I know, it's stupid. But kind of like that. And it's becoming this excuse, this laziness. And, you know, I can watch it on TV if I want to. Yeah, and that's what I'll do. I'll watch it on TV, and then I walk it on TV. It's tough to watch church service. I've done it. And it's tough to watch a whole church service on TV. If it's all you got to get it. I get it. But it's tough to do that. So eventually it's like, oh, I'll just miss that. We get lazy. Our faith, we get lazy in the way we serve and the way we give and the way we do what God has called us to do. Another thing that is another cause is a fear of disapproval. That when I serve Jesus, maybe people will look at me differently. And that happens too in our world today. I think that when we start worrying about what other people think instead of Jesus, as I talked about last week, when we think about what people think instead of what God thinks, then we've got a problem. If I'm more worried about my friend's approval than I am about God, then there's an issue between me and he. There's that a definite issue. Look what happened to Peter, Matthew 14, verse 54. Peter followed him at a distance. Now, why would Peter do that? Because, see, Peter's been right up in his business all to this time. He was right with him. He didn't want to be known as one of Jesus' followers. First sign that you're falling away from God, when you start becoming ashamed of the gospel, when you start not telling people about your God, you not stop talking to people about your faith. When you do that, you are in danger of having this falling away that you don't even know you have, because the things that you used to might have told people, anything that was going on in your life about Jesus, now it's like, I don't want them coming down on me, because today, to be a Christian, you're pretty much a bigot. You're labeled in our society, you're a bigot, or you're a hate monger. You hate certain kinds of people. And so it's like, I'm going to stay at a distance. I'm going to stay at a distance. Just far back, so nobody can identify me who Jesus, and I'm a Jesus follower. One of the signs that you're slipping away is you're not out there about your faith as you used to be. Look at yourself today. I'm going to ask you to do that at the end of our service today. Lastly, convenience, fear of a cause of convenience. We have a faith, but all of us like convenient faith. You know, can't come to church, watch it online. I get it. We had to, but now we don't have to anymore, most of us. Some of us, I get it, you have to, but a lot we don't have to anymore. We can come in person. We want it to fit our schedule. We want to follow Christ as long as it doesn't cramp my other activities. You see, I'm in this club, and I'm in this club, and I do this, and my kids are in this, and their kids and this. And so I'll follow Jesus as long as it doesn't conflict with me. Convenience. Look at this. This is amazing. When I saw this the first time, I'm like, oh, no. Verse 54. Then he sat with the guards, Peter. This is who he's talking about. Then he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. Now think about this. This is an amazing scene to me, okay? Peter, who has been, oh, no, Lord, I'll never, ever leave you. I'll never forsake you. Yeah. He's now sitting at the fire with the very people that are getting ready to kill Jesus. And he's sitting down to get himself warm. And he's worried about himself because he's cold. And here is his Savior, his Christ, his Lord, is getting beat and getting, you know, where is Peter? Warming myself, getting his buns warmed by the fire. You know, look. Oh, I'm nice and I'm all taken care of. Convenience. Wanting to be comfortable. I want to enjoy life. I don't want to be cold. I want to be accepted. I want to follow Christ when it suits me. And if it doesn't suit me, then I got stuff to do. So please don't try to infringe on that, okay? Okay, we understand. If you want to try to continue to enjoy the world's campfire, you're going to get burned. And I think a lot of us have gotten burned by the scent of convenience. That it's just, it conflicts with my life, and I just don't know if I can serve God anymore. You know, I love Him, and I you know, He's good God, and when I get ready to die, I expect Him to go, "Hey, come on in. I'm good with that." But having said that, here's what I want you to see. Okay, I talked about all these things, fear of disapproval, convenience, all these things. Now, here's what I want you to get, because here's the gist of my lesson, because I'm going a totally different direction than you think I'm going to go. He responds to his kids by grace by saying, to those people who have turned away because of convenience, to those people who are lazy, to those people who are fear of disapproval, here's what he says. Romans 8:1. I think it'll come up on here. There is no condemnation for those who belong in Christ Jesus. Got to get that. Got to get it. You got to get it. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you belong to Jesus, what? There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means it's really impossible to lose your salvation if you're in Christ Jesus. So you can know for sure that you have eternal life. That's why many of us say, I hope I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. No! You've missed it! I hope because I do some good thing. No, you've missed it. You're going because of Jesus. You're not going because of anything you got or don't got. Now, here's what you got to get. It does not say that there are no consequences. There are no consequences for those who are, no. There's consequences. So I want to answer this question that's going to come up on the screen for you. Why does God reject or turn believers away when we sin? Why doesn't He do that? Why? Because it would seem like, you know, some of us do some really bad things. Somebody kills somebody. Somebody molests somebody. You say they turn back to God, they can get total back in the game? Yes. Yes. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Word says. The Word says, why? Why? Because why doesn't God turn people away? There's some really bad people. They've accepted Christ. They think they're going to heaven, right? Right? They're bad people. Because His love is unconditional. Period. His love is unconditional. Lamentations 3:22 says, God's compassion never ends. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop when I do wrong. It doesn't stop when I do stupid, stupid things like leave my wife and leave my family. It's stupid, dumb, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to lose my salvation. Why doesn't God reject us when we sin? Because my salvation isn't based on my performance. It's not based on what you do. I want to ingrain that in the church, because so many of you believe that. You believe that it's about what you can't do enough. You can't do anything to get God to save you. God doesn't reject believers when they sin because it's not based on you at all. Titus 3:5 says this, He saved us not because of the good things we did, but because of His mercy. He saved you because He wanted to. He had mercy on you. If you don't get saved by grace, you're not getting saved. It's the only way to get saved. Only way to be saved is to be saved by grace. Why doesn't Jesus reject us when we do bad things? Because God doesn't reject me when I sin, because Jesus took my consequences. There's a movie, I'm a movie buff if you haven't figured that out by now, called Double Jeopardy. Anybody seen that? It's an old movie, Bob and me. Wait, Mitzi, good. Mandy, good job. Oh, Kurt, not you. Okay. Double Jeopardy, I love that. You can't be punished twice for the same crime. And that's us. That was a whole thing. This poor girl, her husband you know, it was a mess. I don't want to go into it. But the bottom line is you can't be punished twice for the same crime. That's the way it is in Christianity. You can't be punished twice. One and done. The punishment was not taken by you. It was taken by Jesus. God, through his son Jesus, took it away from you and from me. Can you even imagine the next time that you sin that God comes to you and says, by the way, you know what Jesus did for you? Wasn't enough. See, but that's the way we play it. That's the way we play our Christian life. Well, I really screwed up. I really messed up. Oh my goodness, I did this and I did that. And God won't take me back. Having said that, everything that I just said, now listen. This is the part where some of you get twisted. This is the part where some of our compadres in the world, in the church, get twisted. Let's follow this. If Jesus has already punished all the things I'm going to do, that means that people can do whatever they want. Isn't that right? Wrong. But that's the way many of us live. That's the way I'm okay. I'm a good person. And I'll make some mistakes. Yeah, right. We all make mistakes. But I want you to understand today that that's not the way it is. All my sins have already been punished and paid for. You know, I can go out and I can sleep with whoever I want to. I can cheat on my income tax. I can lie. I can steal. I can do whatever I want. Because why? It's been punished, Jeff. That's what you just said. No. Now let me try to flesh that out for you so we can get a better understanding of this. Because this is where people get kicked off the bandwagon of being a follower of Christ. If you feel that way, if you feel what I just said, that you can go do those things, I want to say to you as kindly as I can, you never had a grace experience with Jesus. You never had a grace experience with Jesus. If you think you can come to him once and then live your life however you want, God wants to take you and shape you more like his son every day. Not so that you just can live on this earth, but so you're ready for heaven. Because when you go to heaven, he wants you ready to go and go for eternity and to know what it is that you're doing, to know him, to know his voice, to know his son, to know the Holy Spirit. He wants you to know those things now. No genuine believer would ever pervert the grace of God. And that's what is happening a lot in the church today. The church is perverting grace. We're taking example. It's a license to sin, and it is not. It is not a license to sin. God does not punish you, but God will discipline you. He will discipline you. That's the difference. Grace is not that license, but discipline is different than punishment. Punishment is harsh. Discipline is for training. Let me show you a better way, son. So God will allow some things that are hard and harsh and life-altering to come in your life to get your attention if you're off the program and to say, son, daughter, I need to train you. The things you're doing are not working for you very well, are they? The things that... how you're doing it are not getting you where I want you to be. Punishment is retribution for things you did in the past. Discipline is correction so that your future, you don't do it again. That's why we do the things we do over and over and over again, because we don't learn. So sometimes God allows those things to come back into our life. Why? God does that? Yes. Why? To train us, not to punish you, not to put a thumb on you, to train you so that you don't do the same stupid thing time and time and time again. Does that make sense? You can move your head if you don't agree, just say no. It's all right. Lastly, why doesn't God reject us? Because God doesn't hold grudges. I do. You hurt me, I'll remember it. I will. Now, I'll try to forgive, and I'll try to get over it. But we put that on God. And so we think, well, God, he knows all the stupid things I think. He knows all the stupid things I do. He knows how I scream at my family. He knows how I... No. He doesn't hold grudges. Please understand that today. Look what Psalms 103 says. God will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. This is Old Testament stuff. That's why I'm doing this, because the New Testament is even more plain. But I want you to see, before Jesus was even here, here's who God is. Listen, God will not constantly accuse us nor remains angry forever. He has not punished us for our sins, nor does he deal with us as we deserve. Even in the Old Testament, David was saying this. And then he goes, he's like a father to his kids, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. God is tender and compassionate. Like you know, and some of us have trouble with that language, father, because some of us had harsh fathers. Some of us had fathers that were not easy to get along with. Some of us had fathers that all they did was scream and grunt. And those were not, so when you hear that, you go, no. Perfect father, tender and compassionate to his kids. So if you're here today, you're at home, and you're a believer, I want you to know God is not angry with you. God is not angry because you haven't been doing something. Maybe you stopped tithing during the thing. Oh, God's angry. He's not taking care of us. Maybe you know, whatever. I don't know. Oh, he's angry. No, he's not angry. He's like a perfect father. He's compassionate for you. See, the problem is when we don't recognize the difference between fellowship and relationship. Let me say that again. The problem is when we don't understand the difference between fellowship and relationship. Now, follow along here, and I'm going to close this out. I'm almost done. Can I be out of fellowship with my wife and still be married to her? Absolutely. Absolutely. Some of you are out of fellowship with your spouse. Of course you can be. Can I be out of a child, be out of fellowship with their parents and still be their child? Of course you can. Many of you are out of fellowship with your kids. Try your best to raise them. And some of you, maybe your kids don't even talk to you anymore. There's a difference. There's a difference just because that happens. The fellowship is damaged, yes, but the relationship is always, always there. Get it? The fellowship can be damaged, but the relationship is always, always there. You're always going to be your father's kid, no matter what. They can disown you, but you're still, that's who birthed you. That's who got you here. That's the relationship. That's the difference between fellowship and relationship. See, the fellowship is damaged, but that relationship is always, always there. Why? Because you're born into the family, and that house is with Christ. You're born into this family. And nothing, no stupid action, attitude, is going to get you out of it. None. When you become a believer in Christ, you're born into that family and you will not be unborn. So through the fellowship with God has been broken, the relationship is still there. And that's the good news of Easter, the death, burial, and resurrection. Because of that, I not only have the opportunity and the chance and the cool thing to be a follower of God now, forever and ever and ever, I'm going to be his because of that. Fellowship might have been broken, but my relationship is still there. Please understand that. So, plain and simple, summing it all up. What do I do when I sin? What do I do when I sin? Here it is. Return. Return. Come back. I sinned. You don't hide. Remember last week we talked about Adam and Eve, what they do? The first thing that they did something wrong, they covered up all their anatomies. They knew exactly where to put the leaves. Shame, it all just came in. Oh, I'm going to hide. We don't hide. We stop the hiding. We just come and we open ourselves wide up and we say, Jesus, here I am. I return. I repent. There's several words you can use to say that, but it doesn't matter. It means the bottom line is, here I am. I'm back. So that's the good news today for you. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter who you've offended, no matter what you've done, and you're going, I never get close to God. I won't get close to his people because of this or that. The good news is all you got to do is repent. Return to the one who made you. I want to show you three verses. I think we can pull those up. The three last verses. I want to read those for you. They're right up there. Jeremiah 15:19. Listen, this is all Old Testament stuff again. If you return to me, Jeff, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. Isaiah, no matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you clean as fresh fallen snow. That there's the bleach verse of the Old Testament. Bleach will take anything out. That's it right there, the bleach. And lastly, with great compassion, I will take you back. Isn't that good news? Don't you like to hear that today? Yeah, you get beat up on a little bit because you know you've done dumb things. You have. Everybody in here has done dumb things. We call them sin. Dumb is kind of making it kind of not hurt as much. But sin, as I talked about last week, it all starts with that middle letter, I. I know better than God. I know God says this, but I think I can do this. I know God says to worship him. I know God says to do this. I know God says to take care of my body. I know God says to help others, but I know better. That's sin. Sin. All right, let's get the lights. Band, come on up, but I want to ask you some questions while the band's coming up. You want to write some of these down. You got a pen. This would be a good time to write. If you don't want to write, that's okay. I'm going to ask you a bunch, but write down one question that applies to you, okay? One question, that's all I'm asking. I want this to be a time of personal evaluation, not for me. I don't want you thinking about the band. I just want you to think about you. Don't think about your husband. Don't think about grandma. Don't think about the kids. Think about you. All right. Was there ever a time in your life when you were closer to Christ than you are right now? Think about answering that. If so, what happened? Have you allowed the slippage? Did you get in the way? Are you just heartlessly going through the emotions? Has duty replaced delight? Are you just going through the motions? You don't have any joy anymore. I got to go do something for that church down there. It's my time. I got to go do it. See, this is the place where you're supposed to take the gifts that God gave you and to go out into the world. That's why we do that. That's why we do the hub. That's why we do the community meals. We do those things because you take those things into the world. When was the last time you shared a positive word about Jesus with somebody who was seeking? Or are you the person that's always griping and complaining? That daggone president, whichever one it was, that daggone person, that daggone my school, my coach, it's there. That's all you got to say is comment on the negative. When was the last time you said something uplifting about you? When's the last time you invited somebody to come to church with you? See, all those things are just one step back. And the only thing God requires of you today is to step forward. It's not hard. It really isn't. It may be hard to take that first step, but once you take that first step, God meets you there, and he does something really, really special. Let's use this time as the band sings. Please don't think about anything else, but about, was there ever a time that I was closer to God than I am right now, to Christ than I am right now? And if so, what do I need to do about it? Do I just walk out the door? You know, James says, you look at yourself in the mirror and you don't do something about it. If your hair is out of place and you got big zits there and you don't do something about it, there's a problem. And today, I believe the Word of God showed all of us that the mirror we're looking in, there's some brokenness. There's some things that God wants to change. And so after your evaluation, if you want to do something else, we have some people in the back there. We'd be glad to pray with you. They'll pray with you after the service. They'll pray with you now. They'll take you up in one of these rooms and pray. You say, I don't know what to do. Well, those people know. Those folks know. It starts with one step back. Let's see what Jesus does in us.
You guys go ahead and stand up.